Welcome to What's Up with Betsy Johnson, a podcast from a longtime Oregon legislator and keen political observer discussing what is right and wrong with government, politics, and public policy.
Let's talk about something positive and tell me the story of Rex Zeke and the Japanese flags. This sounds like a good one.
This is an amazing story. There is a gifted storyteller that was a constituent of mine. He now lives in Washington. But Rex first emerged in the public imagination during the days of the Lewis and Clark bicentennial. Rex is a gifted storyteller and an enthusiastic historian. And so Rex wrote a number of books and did lectures about the Lewis and Clark Corps of Discovery in the mouth of the Columbia River and when they actually made it to the ocean. And a mesmerizing storyteller. So Rex earned a reputation. People knew who he was. I've seen him reduce rooms to tears talking about some of the lore of the Pacific Northwest. I just cannot express what a gifted storyteller he is. So he ends up marrying a very traditional Japanese woman and over time gets integrated into her family and learns the story of her grandfather who was killed in World War II. And he was killed in Burma. No body was ever found. And in the Japanese tradition, apparently, I'm just repeating what I've been told, I have no firsthand knowledge of this, that when the Japanese government learned that a soldier had fallen and there was no body, they would send the family a box with a rock in it, which, God, seems impersonal and cold, but that's what happened. So Keiko, Rex's wife's grandfather, came back to the family as a rock in a box. And many of the Japanese that had gone into battle carried these flags, and I'm sure people are aware of them. It is basically a likeness of the Japanese flag. And on the right-hand side is the name of the soldier, and then on the left-hand side were messages from the family or the temple or the village that were messages of encouragement and good fortune. And these Japanese soldiers carried these flags into battle. They were called good luck flags. And the Japanese name I practiced like crazy because I made a speech last Friday talking about him. But the story of no connectivity back with the family for this lost Japanese soldier that was Keiko's grandfather resonated with Rex. And on the 70th anniversary of World War II, Rex and Keiko had gone out and gathered 70 of these flags, these good luck flags, and they took them to Japan and presented them to then Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, since assassinated in his own country. But Prime Minister Abe received these flags. And so they took some GIs with them, and one of the GIs told the story that these flags would be akin to finding a fallen United States soldier with dog tags still on them and taking the dog tags and returning the dog tags to their family, that these flags have enormous religious and family symbolism and emotion, and to have the flags returned is a really big deal. I'm going to step back a little bit in this story and say, through sheer coincidence, Keiko's grandfather's flag was returned to the family. It had come into possession of a Canadian gentleman who thought that the flag ought to come back to Japan and had it taken to Japan. And because Keiko's family still lived on their family farm and they could identify it through the name and the other markings on the flag, they returned the grandfather's flag in time to be reunited with his very recently deceased wife. And it brought enormous peace and reconciliation to the family. So over the years, Rex and Keiko have accumulated about 700 of these flags and have repatriated them with the Japanese families and villages from whence the soldier came, because the Japanese combatants carried these flags under their jackets and under their flight suits and however they were dressed to be in combat. And so when the commendations list came out from the Emperor and the Empress of Japan for the 2023 commendations, Rex and Obon Society, O-B-O-N Society, were listed among the recipients of the commendation. So they were given the Order of the Rising Sun with gold and silver rays. And I was present when the Japanese consul presented this beautiful enameled award with the seal of the emperor and the empress on the proclamation declaring that Rex had been given the award. And it was one of those days in Astoria that was absolutely a glorious day at the mouth of the river. We did it at the Maritime Museum, looking out over the mighty Columbia River. Great ceremony, great diplomatic decorum. And so I was asked by Rex to be the speaker at this event. And it was an absolute joy to witness, especially among the Japanese people that were there, the gesture of reconciliation, and to have these GIs come back with 70 flags on the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. What a meaningful gesture of goodwill and reconciliation between the United States and Japan. And so Rex and Keiko continue to go out and hunt for these flags. Their staff is mostly volunteers, so they research and have to go back and understand what village the flag came from, and then make arrangements to have it returned with proper ceremony and solemnity to the village. So it's a touching, heartwarming story of after a dreadful war that claimed all these lives, that here is this couple, an American man and a Japanese woman, whose grandfather was lost in World War II, attempting to find peace and reconciliation between our two countries. And I was very proud to be part of a lovely ceremony that gives, I think, appropriate recognition to the work of the heart done by Rex, Zeke, and Keiko.
So how in the world do they find these things? Do they go on eBay or what?
Yeah. Or they've got outlets in other places where people are cleaning out, you know, grandpa's chest that was up in the attic, and they find one of them, and they've found them in Goodwills. They've found them all over the place. And as the reputation of Obon Society grows, people are willing now to surrender the flags, knowing that they will be cared for and curated and honorably restored to the family and the villages that from whence they came, lo, those many years ago in the dark hours of World War II. So they find them all over the place. And just coincidentally, I had lunch with a group of women yesterday, and I was telling this very story. And one of the women said, "Oh my God, I have two of them with my father's stuff, and I want to get with Obon and return the two flags that I have." Totally serendipitous that should have occurred at a luncheon as late as yesterday.
Now, they have to do this all over the country, right? I mean, this isn't just Oregon. Couldn't be.
Oh, no, they're doing it all over the country.
And so do you know how most of the time, I bet it's not too hard to get them away from people. But I guess if somebody doesn't want to give it to them, they don't have to, do they?
No, there's no obligation. And I have actually seen them advertised on the internet. They're expensive. But when one tells the story that these flags would be analogous to GI dog tags, and the opportunity to return a GI's dog tags to their families, this story of reconciling the flag and the family takes on an added degree of poignancy that I would hope would encourage somebody, instead of having a souvenir of war, would see fit in their hearts to give them back to the families and find that closure and reconciliation that the families so desperately want.
Well, it reminds me of a time you and I and a group of women were at a restaurant in Warrenson, and it was the female veterans group, I'm sure you recall.
Yeah.
So it was so cool to sit around with these ladies. And one of them, a lady named Juanita Price, who has a very high voice, she was a photographer during World War II, a Marine photographer, and she had this camera that was bigger than her that she would haul around. I found the stories fascinating, and it was so cool to see all these ladies get around. And it also made me sad because I know that, you know, World War II veterans are passing away by the day.
Well, and Juanita is still alive and approaching her 100th birthday. But yeah, the greatest generation is dying. Both my parents wore the uniform of the United States and both of them are gone. That was fun doing that because we had women across all conflicts. We spoke to women that had been in the Mideast. We spoke to women that had been in Vietnam. There were, as you say, a smattering of World War II vets, some Korea. And as I recall, that was one of our most popular programs when we were first doing this week with Senator Betsy Johnson. And I think that was one of the few that we ever played twice by popular demand. And those women had a ball doing it. I'd love to do it again sometime. Just purely to capture the stories. I think that we get so casual about hearing the stories that you don't realize that one day the story is not going to be there. And to lose that on the ground history is sad. And so I'd love to regroup those women and hear the stories again. That was a fun program.
It was, and Bexty picked up the tab for lunch, too. And by the way, I should say this just because you've been talking about politicians who don't do the right thing. That's one thing about Betsy. When I'd go out with her or whatever, it was never on the state's dime. It was always on hers for that sort of thing, and rightly so.
Well, yeah, it shouldn't have been on the state's dime, and that's what I guess galls me even more about having a unelected spouse on the state's dime. That really sticks under my skin. But anyway, it is what it is. So
I just wanted to ask you, though. So if you had won the governor's race, would John have had his own office?
Not a chance.
Thanks for listening to What's Up with Betsy Johnson. If you have comments or questions about this podcast, please email questions, QUESTIONS@betsyjohnson.com.